to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. Get ready, get set, go. We're off to another week here in beautiful Brevard County as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for tuning in and utilizing the giftings that the Holy Spirit has placed inside of you to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio Program, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we are on the air three times a day, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on WMIE 91.5, Today's Modern Worship. At 10:30 of a morning, the program airs again on WWBC 1510 AM. Depending on where you are in the county, you might pick up the signal a little bit better at a different frequency. Even WWBC has an FM frequency that they broadcast on. So I encourage you, if you don't get the program real crystal clear, scan the dial. You might find us around on another frequency. So want to encourage you, this coming week is the Send that is taking place over at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. It used to be the Citrus Bowl. It's just north of the East-West Expressway, 408, just on the west side of I-4. And from the last time that I was there, I can tell you it was easier getting off before you crossed I-4 and then taking some of the back roads in there. But with the I-4 Ultimate Project going on, you might want to check around and see what is the easiest way to get there. I don't know if you're familiar with a program or an app called Waze. It's a traffic map, and it will point you to some areas of congestion and things like that. The Send goes on from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. From what I understand, they will not allow you to bring umbrellas in there. So I want to encourage you to be praying with us for clear weather. Also, I think that there are some baggage requirements. You're allowed to take in some clear bags and things like that, but probably some of the things that you're used to carrying in, you might not be able to get in with. So you do need a ticket to the event. Last total I had was over 50,000 people had already acquired tickets. And so if you could go online to thesend.org, you can get your tickets if they're still available and come and experience what God has that day. It is an empowering event. It's designed to equip and empower Christians to take the gospel into their communities. And so it's not your typical Christian gathering where we're just going to preach an edifying word or anything. This is about empowering soul winners. The Bible does say he who wins souls is wise. There's a newsletter that I get, and one of the headline articles that they featured on that here a week or so ago was that half of millennial Christians believe it is wrong to share your faith. In other words, they believe that it is not right for you to tell others about the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an unbiblical philosophy. I will tell you that right now. Now, we are called to speak the truth in love, but we are called to speak the truth in love, not to be silent. I don't want to be a silent witness as a person is plunging off of a cliff and I could have done something to stop them, you know, whether it was throw something out into the middle of the road so that they would hit the brakes. I remember a bridge being knocked out of commission, and collapsing into the Arkansas River in Oklahoma. And there were people who plunged off until someone was able to get a car to stop. And that's what we are really trying to do, is we recognize that people are on a collision course with an eternity apart from God. And God has strategically positioned us with a message of salvation, forgiveness, redemption, and that will prevent them from going into a godless eternity. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I'm more interested in winning souls than I am in winning Super Bowls or World Series or a golf tournament or anything like that. He who wins souls is wise, and that's what we want to be. So if you'd like to be better equipped, descend 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. They aren't publicizing the schedule of speakers or anything like that. There is a list of speakers and worship teams that will be ministering at the event, but they're not publishing the schedule everybody to know exactly what time is going on. And you're welcome to come and go as you like. As far as I know, I'm not involved in the leadership of it, but I do want you to let you know about what's available out there. Today, we do also want to say thank you to the folks at Weyrich Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. So earlier in the month, Punxsutawney Phil said, hey, we're going to have an early spring. And, I think that he's probably about as accurate as flipping a coin, but I don't have a lot of confidence in that either. But I do know one thing for sure, after this being our 30th summer in Florida, and that is it gets hot. It gets hot in Florida, and so you want to get your AC system checked out. You can give them a call, 321-632-9538. They can come and they can clean your coils. They can check out your system, make sure all of the pressures are right. Make sure that the system is working properly. If you've got electrical issues, you can call them and they will come out and they will get those issues resolved for you in a very short order. So with that being said, 321-632-9538. Call the folks at Weyrich Air, Heat, and Electric, and they can keep you cool and keep you powered up this summer. So we are talking about leadership. Here about a week and a half ago, I was called on with pretty short notice to fill in on our Wednesday night Bible study. We have a one of our men that normally teaches that. He was stuck in Iowa with a winter blast that was up there. And so I began to teach some of these leadership principles, and I said, now I'm gonna share some with you tonight that aren't going to be on the radio broadcast. Went to church on Sunday, and someone said, you know, thank you very much for that lesson on leadership. It was a timely word. It's a word I needed. It's a word a coworker of mine needed, and we're very grateful for that lesson. And I was like, well, praise God, because I mean, I did not have. That night I was literally instant in season and out of season. It was let's scramble and find out what God has to say. And I will tell you that when you find yourself in that position that you can't open your mouth, and God will fill it with the words of the living God. Today I want to take you to Psalm 32, and verses 6 through 11 is where we're going to read. While you're touching there, I just want to add something to our teaching on Psalm 23, where he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And Psalm 31:3 echoes that sentiment. And he says, therefore, you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your namesake, lead me and guide me. Okay, and so there we see that God is not just saying that in one word or in one passage, but he truly does lead us and guide us for the sake of his great name. And with that mindset, we realize that when God is telling us to do something, when he is asking us to go forward, that there is glory that is going to come to his name. His name is going to be exalted. His name is going to reach people that it wouldn't have reached before. And so there is a price tag to disobedience where we refuse to say yes to God's plan. And when that happens, the name of Jesus Christ suffers because of a missed opportunity. Not that God missed the opportunity, but that we deprived someone of hearing about the glorious riches that are available to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this week, let's let God lead us and guide us for his namesake. Amen? Psalm 32, just wanted to do a little touch and go on that one. Verse number 6, "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." So, because I believe that the primary means that God leads us is through his word, I want to give you a universal point of leadership that is found in this passage. "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you." Everybody who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ should be a person of prayer. I believe that God gifts people with special giftings. I believe that there are people who probably pray better than others. But God has this tremendous filtration system that takes what's going on in your heart, and he is able to interpret that through the prayer, the prayers that we pray, and it touches the heart of God. If you go up to verse number 5, it says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah, that means that that verse 5 is the cause that is mentioned in verse 6 that compels everyone who is godly to pray to the Lord God. And the reason that we do that is because he's the one that forgave us our sins. He's the one that we acknowledged our sin to. He's the one that we did not hide our iniquity from. He is the one we confessed our transgressions to, and he is the one who forgave the iniquity of our sin. Therefore, we should be people who pray to God. Everybody should be a person of prayer. You and I need to develop the level of communication that we have with God before we are in the firefight. We need to recognize the voice of God when he speaks to us, like an infant begins to recognize the sound of his parent's voice or her parent's voice. I've got both. I'm very thankful for those grandkids and for the kids, and they recognize my voice. In fact, Saturday before last, we had a sectional ladies rally. The Penn Florida District of the Assemblies of God is divided into about 18 sections, and our particular section is Brevard, Volusia, and Flagler counties. So we're right along the coast here. We've got a relatively long section, and I happened to be there, and well, I asked if I could go. My daughter was speaking. She did a great job. And then a River of Life had led the worship. It was at their church. They led the worship. And then Robin did a little bit of speaking, my daughter. And then a pastor from Volusia County, a pastor's wife from Volusia County, she preached a message. And so they'd come, and I'd asked if I could come so I could hear my daughter speak, and she did wonderful. But then I also got asked to do a number of other things, one of which was to receive the offering that they were receiving to minister to a family that they had encountered on a missions trip in Central America last year. They were there, and there was this one particular family that was just in real desperate need, and so they were taking up an offering. Part of that offering was going to that cause. And as I was as I was going down the aisle and receiving the altar, I saw a lady from my church, and she didn't see me. And I said, well, there's a voice that sounds familiar, and a person on the row behind them, and I didn't know them. They said, no, yours is a voice that sounds familiar. And so I could only conclude that they had heard me on the radio, that they recognized the voice from this radio program. I could be wrong, but that was my best guess. You and I, we need to have that relationship with God where we recognize His voice. When we're around my son and his family, and I see the grandkids with their mom, and I see my grandson with my son, they recognize their voice. And in fact, my son stopped by a couple of weeks ago. They were on a supply run, and they were listening to the radio, and my grandson said, "Grandpa's voice?" And he recognized my voice on the radio as they were driving down the road. And so my son said, "Hey, are you at the church?" And so they stopped by, and I got to have some grandpa time with my grandson there because he recognized my voice on the radio. I will tell you that when you and I pray to God, we will recognize the sound of His loving voice, His caring voice, His guiding voice. It's the voice of truth. It's the voice of compassion. It's the voice of wisdom. And the more that we can spend time listening to our Heavenly Father, I believe that we are going to be led to a great deal of victory. Fall in love with the voice of God. Say, "God, you speak, I'll listen. Your servant is listening." And I believe that you will come away better because of that. In verse number 8, it says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you." So here we see that not only will God guide you with His word, but He also wants to instruct us. It goes on, He says, "I will instruct you and I will teach you." And I believe that those are two very similar things, although they have different applications in my mind. See, I can open up something that needs assembly, and they can give me instructions, and I can look at those instructions, and the people who wrote those instructions here on earth may think that they have explained it perfectly, but I look at them and I say, "I don't understand these instructions." And I will tell you that communicating truth without people receiving it as truth has not resulted in instruction. It has just resulted in communication. I see all sorts of things through the years where people come to church, and I'm looking for verbal and nonverbal feedback. I'm looking for people who you can tell from the way that they're responding, they're getting it. There's a you can have two people sitting side by side in the exact same church service, having the exact same worship service, going through all of the same different activities, and one of them can be getting it. They can receive the instruction that is going forth, and the other one be completely oblivious to everything that is going on because they're distracted by this or they're distracted by that. Maybe they stayed out too late last night. They can't keep their eyes open. They're really just trying hard to just stay awake. And so one person can receive the instruction and the other one miss it entirely. So I don't want to be like that person who doesn't understand the instructions. Here God says, I will instruct you. Now, I will tell you that there has never been a better teacher on planet Earth than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there were still multiple occasions where the disciples didn't understand what he was teaching, the people didn't understand what he was teaching, and no one, you know, very rarely did someone press him and say, can you expound on that a little further? It did happen. It didn't always happen, but I'm here to tell you that God wants to make sure that you and I understand, because when we understand, we will turn to him. And God says, when you turn to me, I'm going to bring the healing, the godly resolution that you need. So God instructs us and he teaches us. All of those things were about equipping. A teacher is one that, in my mind, doesn't just give verbal instructions or written instructions, but they are actually involved in the hands-on process of how they're going to learn. Most of the time, our school systems are designed around people who learn from books. Very rarely is there any availability made for people who learn visually or learn practically from hands-on. You know, occasionally you will get some labs and things like that that you get hands-on. One of my children is a really, really good visual learner and hands-on learner, not so much by reading books. Another one of my children, they can read it and they will understand it, but they also gain further understanding from watching it take place. And so Jesus was called rabbi or teacher, and as he was walking with the disciples, he gave them daily demonstrations of how things were supposed to go. There is leadership that comes when the student says, you know what, I'm going to get the most out of this experience that I can. A lot of times in churches, there is emphasis made on follow-up. If there's visitors that come to church, are you following up with those visitors and things like that? And then you hear, well, you know, people make up their mind in the first few seconds of when they come to a church or whether they're ever going to come back. I've told you before, we ended up at a church at one point in time that first visit was just about as unremarkable as a visit could possibly be. But when we prayed about it, that was exactly where God wanted us to be. He led us to that place, and it was very important for our future that we were obedient at that exact point in time. So I want to be in the place where I'm going to be able to learn, where I'm going to be able to serve, where I'm going to be able to rise up and say, you know what, to God be the glory. Look at how he is leading me, and you will be able to see how you should allow him to lead you. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. A lot of people in society are wanting to try to dictate the path of the church. People who are not believers are trying to dictate how believers should then live. Francis Schaeffer, back when I was in college, had a curriculum. How should we then live as believers in an unbelieving world? And, you know, I believe that there is a way that the people of God should behave. It should be a way of holiness. It should be a way of distinction. And it should be a way that demonstrates that God's favor and blessing and direction is the best possible way to live our life. Verse number 8 concludes, it says, I will guide you with my eye. Now, I'll give a couple of illustrations here how this happens. And that is, I've watched several football games where the quarterback goes to the line and he assesses the defense even after they've already called a play in the huddle. And then he will begin to look at his wide receivers or his tight ends or his running backs, and he will make eye contact with them and not be able to give a clear distinction, but just because of the relationship that they have, that when they make eye contact, all of a sudden the quarterback and the wide receiver end up being on the same page, and they snatch a disastrous play and they make it a victorious play. Now, when I'm preaching, my wife is out there sitting, and she is one of my feedback people. I look to her to see if people are getting it, if people aren't getting it. And I can also look out there and see if there's a look of bewilderment. I can look and see if I can't believe you're telling this story, which is probably the way she would be looking right now as we're talking about this story. But I want you to know that God wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And he has a way of looking. When Peter denied him 3 times, it was a look from Jesus without verbal communication that pierced the heart of Peter. And he said, I have just missed the mark. Today, I want us to say, you know what, God, I want you to guide me with your eye. I want you to be able to look at me and say, don't go there. Or be able to look at me and say, this is the way you should go. He said the other option is people who are stubborn, who refuse to come, and they have to have something control them like a bit controls a horse, making it go where it doesn't want to go. Let's let God lead us today by his word, by his instruction, and by his eye. See you next time.
Thank
right here
you
on
for
Refresh.
Tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell. Fill your church with joy.